Welcome to Skyview Baptist Church. We're going to start our Wednesday evening service, and let's start with some singing. We're going to do No Not One, song 534 for piano, first, second, and last verse of No Not One. And on that first verse, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no. One more song before our opening announcements. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. First, second, and last verse of Jesus saves. On that first verse, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Highest hills and deepest. Our slides are just off just a little bit. Probably my fault. Let's try to... Here, you want to do announcements?
Let's go ahead and do announcements. That'd be wonderful. And hello and welcome to Skyview Baptist Church. It's Wednesday evening. And I'm thrilled to have you. And I'm looking at some of the names of the people who joined. Dan Roach joined us up in Amboy. And I didn't know they had internet out there, so that's wonderful to hear that he's with us. And let me do a couple quick announcements for you. First, we mentioned this before. We want to be a help to missionaries. We're sending some money off to some of the missionaries that are in desperate need. And if you can be a help to the missions fund right now, when you do giving today, when you go to skyviewbaptist.com, top right hand corner, the little button says give. You click that button. Then it comes on there and it asks for information. You put in your information, and then you put the amount you're going to give, and then it'll ask for notes. And under notes, if you'll beyond your tithe, if you'll designate some money for missions, that helps us to be a blessing to people who are really struggling. And so we want to try to help them as much as possible. If you could help us with that. We mentioned that there are no services taking place here other than live stream. So if we're asking our people not to come by during the week and come into the church. And anytime people come to church, we have extensive cleaning. What's that called? Sanitizing. Extensive sanitizing. And then just by chance, if you happen to have like a riding lawnmower or something like that, and you could be a help to the church, we our lawn's getting a little bit up and going, and our church lawnmower's not going. If you could be a help for that, let me know. We could definitely use someone that wanted to volunteer to mow the church field and the church lawn. And one more thing, people are asking, you know, when are we meeting? How are we meeting? We don't have information on that, but what we are doing is we're beginning to work on what meeting's going to look like. When they say churches can meet, it's not going to be run in, get everybody a hug, go to the altar and grab each other and pray at the altar.
It's going to be a different animal for a little while. And we've got some guidelines from the Christian Law Association. We're working through those guidelines. And the deacons and myself have been getting together and figuring out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and how to fulfill all the different things. And so we're definitely preparing to meet. And I know a lot of people are praying about that. Would you do me a favor? Would you pray with us and pray about when to meet, how to meet? We want to be right in the center of what God wants us to do. We need wisdom. And we ask our people to pray with us. Everybody has an opinion, and I have one too, but it really doesn't matter. We want to do it what's pleasing to God. And so if you'd help us with that, that'd be a tremendous blessing. And so welcome to Skyview Baptist Church. I was thrilled to have you. A couple of folks texted me this week, let me know they've been listening online. And if you're not normally part of Skyview Baptist Church, welcome. I'm glad you could join us. And it's a little bit different than other places, but we kind of like it that way. So God bless you. And Mr. Wright, why don't you come up and lead us in a song?
Okay, let's sing Amazing Grace. We're going to do first, second, and last verse of Amazing Grace. On that first verse.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. A little slow on that second. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
And all the last.
When we've been there, 10,000 tears, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. At this time, we take our tithes and offerings, and let me just, it looks like Gabriel White might be in the service. Let me just double check this real quick. Look at that. Kaylin's watching, and good to have you, Kaylin. Kaylin Ridgway has been watching. Steve Naylor, he's got to proofread. That's awesome. And Gabriel White is actually watching, and us White family is watching. And so that's awesome. Oh, this time we take our tithes and offerings, and we're trying to keep it the same as we do at church. And we have an offering plate, and I'm asking the folks, if you're going to be give, if you make it a habit of trying to do it at this time, if you'll go on skyviewbaptist.com and click the give button, and that would be a blessing to do this, though. We want to be a blessing to others. It's very important. God'll take care of us, but the world needs to see Christians as givers in the time where everybody's hoarding. When everybody's scared, the Christians got to say, look, you know, my citizenship's in another country, and there's no coronavirus up there, and the economy's great there, and my Heavenly Father's got plenty of money, and we're going to help anybody we can possibly help. And so if you can be a help to somebody, I want to encourage you to do that, and especially during this time. This time we'll take our tithes and offerings, and so I'll put that in the plate, and then we'll have a word of prayer for the offering tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the service to come. We thank you for the offering, the opportunity to give back a small portion of that which you've given us. Father, would you gift us with the ability to be givers? Would you give us wisdom how to find a way to give, even if it's a tough time for us? A way of saying to you, we believe you're in charge and we trust you. Bless us, Lord, like only you can. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. you so much. We were able to get specials and piano playing from Lizzie White tonight, and I appreciate that. And I'm just looking at some of the stuff we have here. The Crosby family is watching from Rock Springs, Wyoming, and they were heading over to Bible College and Harvest Baptist Church in Fort Dodge, Iowa, and they were picking up some of the things the students left behind. The students didn't know that they were coming home for good. I think all of our students were like that. Did you know you're coming home for the whole year? Did you? Yeah, I don't think any of them really knew they were coming home for the whole year, and so they went back to grab their stuff, and I think they're on their way home. I sent them a text. We'll find out a little later on. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we have our theme verse, and then I'm going to have you turn to the theme verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and then we'll have our text verse, and that's going to be in Daniel chapter 9. So if you'll keep your finger over in Daniel chapter 9, we'll start with 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I've been told several times there's some adjustments that we're going to have to make. And one of the things is as we're looking at reopening, what that's going to look like, when people wear masks, it's much more difficult to pay attention. You're breathing your own carbon dioxide. You feel like falling asleep. The steam from your breath is going up on your forehead. And the people who've been here in the live services are doing a wonderful job, but people have been telling me the nicest way they know how, that, Pastor, you need to preach a little shorter, not a little longer. And so I'm going to work on that tonight. And, and the buyers are eating popcorn while they're watching this. So the Crosby's are going to be home tomorrow night is what they're hoping to do, around 10 p.m. So good. It's good to have you on the way home. God bless you. Let's read our text verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse 13, and read 13 and 14. The Bible says this: if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We've been talking a little bit about that. The concept of what God's people are supposed to do in times of plagues or times of famine or times of national trials. And he gives us an example here of what God's people are supposed to do when plagues or national trials come. And I'm going to give you a little more detailed example tonight. You can turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to go a little more detailed. So, well, as you're turning to Daniel chapter 9, he says, if my people which are called by my name, those are God's people, the Christian people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. And that word humble, if I were to say I'm humbling you, it means I'm forcing my will on you. And you humble yourself is when you force God's will on yourself. And he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. That word pray is the word for intercessor. And that's like a lawyer is for a client. You stand before the judge and you intercede for the client. You speak the language for the client. You go to the judge trying to plead for the client. That's intercession. If my people which shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Very important we don't forget this. This just isn't a recipe where you grab an Aladdin's lamp and you rub it and out comes God. And you get three wishes and you say, heal my land, you know, and get rid of my mother. No, get rid of my mother-in-law. We don't do that one. But it's not an Aladdin lamp that you rub. God says, you need to want me. You need to seek my attention on you. Don't just call me when there's trouble. Part of the reason there's trouble, and we'll talk about that tonight, is because we haven't been calling on God. We haven't been seeking his face. We haven't desired God. And I use the illustration. People have been teasing me about it, but it's a fun illustration. My youngest daughter, when she was a little girl, and she was standing on my legs, and I was kind of holding her, and I was watching TV, and she kept trying to talk to me, and she kept putting her face in front of my face, and I'd move my face the other way. And finally, she took her little sharp fingernails and grabbed my cheeks, and she pulled my face in front of her face, and she goes, "Look at me!" And she wanted me. She was seeking my face. She wanted my attention. She wanted her attention and my attention to be together. And God says, seek my face. And then he says, and turn from their wicked ways. It's interesting. We discussed that. The wicked ways. The wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah was they were full of idleness and pride. They didn't take care of the poor. He called that wickedness, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were full of bread, and they didn't see their need for God. That was wickedness. God said, I want you to see your wickedness and turn away from your wickedness. Then he gave us a promise here, and this is the promise we've been looking for. It says, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let me say something that's very important you understand. It's not the government's job to heal the land. God may use our government to do it, but the government does not have the power to heal our land. Don't put everything good or bad on the president or the vice president or the Congress or the Republicans or the Democrats or down the whole list, the mayors, all those kind of things. It's up to God to not just stop the plague, but to heal our land. And God said he has a requirement. God's people have to be willing to humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways. And there's no shortcut around it. But, you know, most of us, as long as we're warm in a house with a banana and we're not hungry, we're okay. If I'm not fighting in the lines for toilet paper and I'm not sick of the hospital and no one I know is sick, then why pray? And God says our job as Christians is to come to God with interceding in prayer and praying for our country. So we find something here. We find in Daniel chapter 9. And I'm going to read the text verse in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. And then I want to kind of talk to you tonight. I'm going to be like, it's our church family. I'm just going to have a little like conversation. If you just let me, I think I'm going to open some things. I'm going to explain this a little bit tonight. And it should help you. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping a covenant mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Let's have a word of prayer and get right into the message for tonight. Heavenly Father, in the short time we have, we know that you can do great things. Would you speak to our hearts? And Lord, teach us what we're supposed to do as Christians and teach us how to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me do something in a way of introduction. Do you understand that plagues are not always a bad thing? And I know it sounds bad to say that. Plagues bring death and destruction, and they're hard to deal with. But understand this. Plagues have a purpose. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have you turn to Revelation chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. There's something very interesting I stumbled across a few years ago. And when I read this, I was really taken back. I was really blown out of the water, because you know about the plagues in Revelation and how all the plagues will be flying down from heaven, and death, and a third of the world dies and another third of the world dies, and the water turns to blood and fire falls from heaven and all those things happen, right? Then you see here at the fifth seal in Revelation chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says this, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. Then the next statement blew me out of the water. It said this, and repented not of their deeds. I didn't realize, and I know some other people may have, that these massive, more destruction in the world has ever known since the history of the world. Massive destruction coming. And God says, you were supposed to repent. You were supposed to say, I'm sorry. You were supposed to change your mind. The word repent means to change your mind. You're supposed to change your mind. And not only did you not repent, but you hardened yourself in. You hardened your heart. You trenched yourself in and got more angry with God. God said, I sent this to you so it can be used to draw you closer to me. Do you know a plague can be a good thing? And we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13 that God says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Who sent it? Who's commanding the locusts to devour the land? Who's shutting up the heaven that there is no rain? Who's sending the pestilence among the people? It's God. But the interesting thing is this. We think of God's wrath and his anger and the destruction and all that kind of stuff. But God said, there's a purpose behind this. I want you to turn around, to change your mind, to repent. I'm not just looking for a reason to come down and slash people and hurt people. He said, I'm taking it up another notch so it'll get your attention so you'll repent. By the way, sad to say this, I think it's just starting to get America's attention. If you don't live in New York City or Detroit or one of the major high population hubs that are being just bombarded with the coronavirus, it's annoying to you. You're mad at the government. You're worried about your civil liberties and your personal rights, and you're making this more about you than ever before. What do I have? What do I get? What's my economy going to be about? What are they going to do for me? Am I going to get my stimulus check? And by the way, I'm glad they're doing the stimulus thing. I'm glad they're trying to help the economy. I don't want our economy to be crushed. But maybe this is a gift from God, and maybe it's a small plague in order to get your attention. Now, don't misquote me. I didn't say this is the wrath of God and it's a plague God sent. But I'm saying, the Bible shows example of God sending a plague, and God in his loving kindness using that plague to get your attention and to draw you to God before things get even worse. And he said, if I send those plagues to you, if you'll call on me, I'll take them away. It'll draw you back to me. Even Paul the apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, you find that Paul the apostle, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He learned a principle when his infirmities, his weaknesses came upon him. That weakened him, so he had to trust God more. And he began to thank God for the weaknesses. Let me tell you this. And this takes us to what we're learning. How do we seek God? What is this? What do we practically do? First thing we do is we thank God for the trouble. Bible says, in all things, giving thanks. We thank God for the trials we're in. Because God is in charge. God is doing a work. And whatever God does is good. So we thank God for the trials we're in. The next thing we see, Daniel did something. Daniel made himself thirsty. Now stay with me. I'm going to give you just this principle, and I'm going to take just a few minutes, honestly, and teach you how to apply this principle. Here's the principle. Often, when a plague comes, or a pestilence, as the Bible says, or locusts, or national trials, God is making you thirsty. When I was a kid, I remember going into a bar, and I remember it was just like a weird place to me, and I just kind of walking in, and we're going in to make a phone call, I think. My mom was broken down, and I kept seeing pretzels and potato chip on the bar. And I told Mom, I want some. She says, well, you can grab some. And I'm like, well, how much does it cost? She said, they're free. I said, why are they free? And on the way home, she explained it to me. She didn't want me staying there, but this is many years ago when you had to get to a payphone. And she said, they'll put pretzels, or they'll put potato chips, or they'll put salted peanuts or something like that to make you thirsty. And when you eat that, it makes you want to buy more drinks. To get a horse to drink, they talk about salting their oats, put salt in there to make them want to have more water. And God says this, sometimes when I send a plague, this is to make you want to get closer to me, to see your need for me, to pull you out of work and to stop you in your place and to make you stop for long enough to realize that you've been running circles so hard and so fast that you have not had time for God. And when you were created for God, God Almighty, it is a ridiculous notion to not have time for God. That's a ridiculous notion. And he pulls you aside and he says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to send you a plague. And it's going to stop your country. And it's going to stop your economic system. And you're going to freeze in place and say, you need me. Some of us, we hurried up and grabbed our phones or grabbed our computers or did what we could and tried to ignore what was happening around us. But God's saying, hey, trying to get your attention. You need me. He's making you thirsty. And Daniel saw here in Daniel chapter 9 that God was coming to a place where he's ready to free the children of Israel. And when he's ready to free the children of Israel, he said, you know what? I need to get thirsty for God. I need to recognize my need for God. So he said, I've got a recipe for this. And if you look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 3, it says, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication. So here's what he did. He said, I got this recipe. I'm going to make myself thirsty. He says, first off, I'm going to pray. That word prayer there is a word for intercession. We talked about that earlier. I'm going to pray for other people. Then he said, I'm going to pray with supplication. That is a very specific request. Here's the difference. Brother Chris Myers is back in the booth. He's working on the video system and the sound system. And if I say, oh, God, bless Brother Myers, that's praying for Brother Myers. Supplicating for Brother Myers or Pastor Myers is saying, Heavenly Father, I ask you to put your hand on Pastor Chris Myers, Lord. Lord, he's seeking desperately to find your will for his life. And Father, give him wisdom. First off, Lord, I ask you to give him peace that you're in charge. He only has to have your will for today, Lord. And Lord, open his eyes and let him just know what you want him to do today and give him peace there. And Lord, also give him wisdom how to find your will in such a way that he'll have peace to know the direction you're sending him. Lord, to touch the heart of his family to be able to follow them the direction that they're going and open their eyes and prepare them for what you have in ministry for him. God, I ask you to put your hand on him and give him great power and show him how you can use him, train him in a special way to know that he's a man of God that walks with you, Father. Please put your hand upon him. That's specific. That's asking God to do something specific. It's interceding specifically for someone. Not God. When I was a kid, I honestly did this. This is the way I'm wired. I said, well, God knows everything. God understands everything. And I trust God can take care of everything. And I'm not kidding you. I did this as a little kid. I said, God, please bless the world. Can he do that? Yes. Did I just cover everybody on the planet? Yes. And is that a great time-saving thing to help you in your prayer life? No. But I thought it was, and that's what I used to do. What are these people praying for individuals? He says, God will bless everybody, and you're done. God says, I want you to intercede, and I want you to be specific, here's what he says, with fasting. No, the internet hasn't glitched. There was a moment of silence. With fasting. I think what they're gonna start a diet program called the Corona 19. Everybody puts on 19 pounds while they're locked in the house with food. We all bunkered up with food, and one guy said at the beginning, he did the math. Doug Dixon did some math, and he's at a men's meeting. It's so funny. He said, I counted, if you use 25 sheets of toilet paper and use a roll, that's 256 trips to the bathroom, and per package of roller paper, toilet paper. He says, what's going on with these people? Why are we having a shortage? What are you doing? And then he said, you know, they've hunkered in with so much food. If you'd eat less food, you wouldn't need so much toilet paper, and that would solve everybody's problem. But the problem is, we hunkered in, and we all have food at the house all the time now. So we're going to put on our Corona 19 pounds and have 19 pounds to lose. Have you thought about fasting? Take a whole day and don't eat any food. I often will stop and say, hey, if you have a medical condition, please take care of your medical condition. Ask your doctor if you can fast. Or some people, it could really hurt them to fast. If you're a child, ask your parent before you fast. The Bible actually says you're supposed to do that. There's some stipulations, but having said all that, have you fasted? Have you gone without eating and said, God, I'm getting thirsty. I'm making myself spiritually thirsty. I'm starting to let go of the things of this flesh. And I'm going to start feel my need for you. I'm going to start feeling weaker. In my infirmities, I'll lean on you more. He says, with fasting and sackcloth. Sackcloth was just uncomfortable clothes. It's a feed bag, if you know much about feed bags, or burlap bag would be the closest thing we would have to it. And you'd put that next to your skin. You would wear that to be uncomfortable. You're making yourself unsettled, uncomfortable. You weren't occupying yourself with busyness. So fasting and sackcloth. And ashes, you'd wipe ashes on his face. And ashes, you're uncomely. How much time do we spend getting ready and making ourselves look good? One of the things that you don't think of in a time like this, I've been trying to figure out what to do for a barber. How do I get my hair cut? People are all kinds of things you're trying to figure out. How do I take care of myself? I'm kind of fidgety in this suit right now because I don't wear a suit unless I need to. And I'm wearing jeans and a work shirt, and I'm working with wood, and I'm not shaving, and I look half unshaved, and when I don't shave, I look like a criminal. And so if you come by my house, you see a criminal out front. That's me. And he says, I'm getting uncomfortable. I'm fasting. I'm sackcloth, ashes. I'm not taking care of my appearance. So what's the point of fasting, sackcloth, and ashes? What would be the modern equivalent? And I looked at text on fasting, and I saw that fasting and sackcloth seem to represent the intersection of humility and mourning. Humility and mourning. And in Psalms 35, 13 and 14, the Bible says plainly says to humble yourself with fasting and sackcloth is unrefined fabric. And the other ingredient in Daniel 9:3, you see ashes, dust on the head. In Nehemiah 9:1, you see this too. This combination not only represents humble dress and appearance, but the indications are of mourning. And you see that when Jesus talked to the disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says that then came he to the disciples of John. Let me say that again. Matthew 9:14. Say that again. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. He said, they'll mourn. They'll fast. Do you know you mourn? There's a godly mourning over your own sin. God, I'm sorry. That godly mourning turns you to God. Do you know there's a godly mourning for other people's sin? God, I'm sorry for the sin of our country. Do you know God wants to hear the Christian say, I am sorry that America has made legal the murder of babies? That somehow there seems to be a differential that if they're halfway out of the womb or all the way out of the womb or if they're mentally stable or all those different things, and we murder babies. In massive amounts. We're worried about the coronavirus, and it hasn't even touched. In fact, one of the necessary things they had to keep open was the ability to murder babies. More babies will die during the coronavirus than people who die of the coronavirus. God, I'm sorry for what our country does. I'm sorry that we revel in wickedness and say it's okay now. The Christianity, when a Christian lives for God, they're freaks of nature. They're put on terrorist watch lists. God, I'm sorry. He said this. He said they will mourn and they will fast. That's what it looks like. Have you done some of that? God says, I do this to make you thirsty, to draw you to me. Will you take the next steps and make yourself more thirsty? Isaiah 44:3, and I think I have to end for tonight. There's some more verses. I may give them to you next week. But Isaiah 44:3, the Bible says this, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry grounds. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. God said he will pour his spirit on you if you're thirsty. As long as you are satisfied, you will never go get more. You must be willing to be unsettled. At a time like this, it begins to unsettle you, but God says you're supposed to join in with that and unsettle yourself. Make yourself thirsty. Fasting, the house of mourning, the Bible talks about, hospitals, nursing homes, homeless shelters, cancer treatment centers, funerals, confessing your sins and your nation's sins, denying yourself things you enjoy, like the Bible talks about in Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, pleasant bread, attempting a work for God that is bigger than you are, that creates a need for God, an awareness of your need for God. So, we talked about prayer, we talked about fasting, we looked at the verse that said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here's some practical application. Will you do it? Will you fast? Will you fast? But don't just not eat food and don't pray. It's a waste of your time. Fast and pray. Will you fast and pray? Why does it seem so hard for Christians when we say to them, will you fast and pray? They go, oh. Will you pray? I'll work on it. I'm trying. How far does God have to take this before he actually gets your attention? The person who did the jail ministry, Brother Kurt Robertson, many, many years ago. And he worked in the jails. And he said a phrase that I never forgot. He'd meet the fellows and he'd preach to them in the jails. And some of them would come back again. And every time they came back, they got right with God. And he said, look, guys, he said, if the only time you get right with God is when you're in jail, then expect to spend a lot of time here. I thought, wow. We make God go to so much, to such a high degree to get our attention, when all we had to do was give him our attention, to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift us up. So tonight I'm going to ask you to make a decision. I'm going to ask you to spend some time fasting and praying, asking God to do a work in our land, asking God to bring a revival from the end of this. Sometimes when you take church away, people say, man, I missed it. I'm going to be in church. Sometimes when you take soul winning away and the ability to talk to people face to face, people go, man, I'm going to get out there and tell some people about Jesus Christ. This can be used in a great way, but God expects his people, which are called by his name, to humble themselves, to pray, to seek God's face, and to turn from their wicked ways. He said, he'll hear from heaven, he'll forgive their sin, and he'll heal their land. Well, we're going to have a quick word of prayer, and we have our prayer sheet tonight, and so that is out there. We've had some prayer requests come in, and so that we're very thankful for that. I don't think I'll read that online for everybody to hear, but we will do. If you'll pray for the prayer request sheet, if you'll email me at pastor@skyviewbaptist.com, we'll make sure to get you a copy of the prayer sheet, and you can definitely pray for the different needs. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then one thing before I end, let me do this. I try to end each time just with a quick thought for you. If you don't know for sure if you died today, if you go to heaven. You may have gone to church. You may be Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon. It doesn't really matter what title you wear. God's not going to get – you're not going to stand in front of God and him say, what was your title on earth? What you have to do to go to heaven is you have to settle the relationship between you and Jesus Christ. The Bible says you have to understand, one, that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that you've done things God said not to do, and God caused that sin. Two, there's a price on sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What you owe for that sin is death. That word death ends up meaning eternal separation from God. If you're separated from God for all of eternity, there's only one place to go. It's a place created for Satan and his angels called the lake of fire or hell. And God says one sin's enough to send us to hell, but three, that Jesus Christ came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. They put him in the grave, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And God said that gave us victory over sin. He paid our way to heaven. But four, and the last thing, and the most important thing is, you have to tell God you're trusting what Jesus did and nothing else to pay your way to heaven. It's not your good works. It's not your church attendance. It's not where you were born. It's by believing that Jesus Christ paid everything. And if you put your faith in the fact that Jesus paid your way to heaven, he promised you to take you to heaven. Tonight, if you make a decision and you pray and you say, God, I'm trusting Jesus and nothing else to take me to heaven, we'd love you to let us know about that. And you can contact us on Facebook where you're listening, or you can call the church at 360-892-0990, or you can send an email to pastor@skyviewbaptist.com. Either way, we'd love to know that you've made that decision. We'll try to give you some helps for that decision. We're going to end in a word of prayer, and tonight I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. I'm going to have just a moment where the piano plays, and I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to God to do something where you let go of your comfort, and you seek God, because God's people have been asked to, or commanded to do that. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this invitation. Help us to be a people who are willing to give up some food and pray. Help us to be a people who are willing to give up some comfort, to give up our plans, to let things go and just to seek you. Lord, let us be a people who say, you've got our attention now, God. It doesn't have to go any farther. God, we're yielding to you, and let you bring your hand of blessing on this country. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you make a decision, in just a moment, the piano plays. If the piano plays, will you pray and make a decision for God? Many people are praying where they're at. If you're at home, maybe you can even go as far as getting on your knees by the coffee table or just by the chair that you're at. Make it an altar. Kneel down. Maybe you'll say, God, I'm going to give up a meal, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek your face, and I'm going to actually intercede. I'm going to pray for our government. I'm not going to distinguish if they're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, anything. I'm just going to pray for our government. I'm going to pray for our country. Pray for myself that you would forgive me of my sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've promised us that if we would seek you, that you would guide us and we would be closer to you. At the end of this, when you said you'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land, I think we forget that at the end of that, we're close to you again. Boy, Lord, that's more important than anything else. Help us to be a people who walk with our God. And Lord, if there's one listening today who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven, help them to say, you know what, I don't believe it's my good works. It's by grace I'm saved through faith, and that not of myself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let them say, I'm trusting Jesus Christ and nothing else as my payment for heaven. Lord, bless each person who's in the service and who's watching online. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We are dismissed.